This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
Every Sunday, we invite you to join us in listening to a series of inspirational programs featuring Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author and spiritual leader in
This Thing Called Life.
Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Friends, this thing called life is available to everyone, ready and willing to meet all our needs when we have confidence in it. Today I am going to tell you a true success story. It is about a man well past middle age who learned how to use the power greater than we are at a time of life when he was both discouraged and impoverished.
Before Dr. Holmes discusses his subject for today, The Secret of Success, let's listen to our soloist, William Alvis.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. I rejoice, for I am healed by the power thou hast revealed. Now I live unbounded free in the love thou hast for me. Life eternal now is mine by thy grace of love divine.
Thank you, William Alvis. And now, Dr. Holmes.
I'm going to tell you a story about a man who is past 60. He was driving a bakery truck when he first became interested in knowing more about this thing called life. Shortly before this, his daughter had healed herself of a physical ailment through prayer and faith. And this set him to wondering about his own condition. At one time, he had been very successful, but through a change in affairs, he had lost his business, and he was now driving a bakery truck. He came to me one day and told me about his daughter's healing and asked, "Why can't this power that healed my daughter do something for me?" Naturally, I answered, "God can do anything." He believed in the power of prayer, and his faith was now supported because his daughter had been healed. And so we worked out a very simple method of procedure for him. We decided it would be a good thing for him to take a few moments each day to meditate and pray. And with this one idea in mind, there is a law of good that is able to do anything. There is an intelligence in the universe that wishes me to be successful. God is right where I am. Therefore, I do not have to go anywhere to find him. The law of good is right where I am. Therefore, I do not have to go in search of it. I live and move and have my being in this divine spirit and this perfect law. I believe it will respond to me. Therefore, I am going to trust it. He was trying to accept the answer to his prayer, even though he had not yet experienced its fulfillment. As Jesus had said, "When ye pray, believe that ye have, and ye shall receive." Let us say that he was in this position. He had a garden plot and seeds to plant in it. He believed the soil could produce the desired crop, and he had complete confidence in the creative ability of life. But he hadn't actually planted the seed. He was hoping for a crop without first having complied with the law of nature, which says, plant the seed. Plant the seed and let the law of good do the rest. Or shall we say, he was like a man who had a hen and a dozen good eggs, and he wanted to raise some chickens. Somehow or other, he had to get the hen and the eggs together. Now the eggs were willing, and the hen was willing, and he was willing. But if he kept the hen in the yard and the eggs in a basket, nothing could happen. It is necessary to put the eggs under the hen, because she knows what to do with them. She just sets on them for 21 days. She rolls them over once in a while and sort of chuckles to herself as she contemplates the happy event that is to take place. You see, the hen doesn't know how to make a chicken any more than you and I know how to create a cabbage. But by some divine guidance, she knows how to set on an egg. And there she sets, as though she were guided by God's intelligence, which, of course, she really is. But the hen obeys this divine urge within her, and so she sets. And sure enough, in due season, life stirs within the shells, and the little chicks come forth, ready to start the business of living on their own. Well, you and I are not chickens, and we are not eggs. But we could learn a lot from the hen, for she simply sets on an idea until it takes place. Have you and I ever sat on an idea consistently for 21 days without ever leaving it? Have we rolled it over each day in our imagination, like the hen does the eggs, in happy anticipation of what is going to happen? It was exactly this that our friend needed to learn, and he needed to do. He already had the making, so to speak. He merely hadn't put them together right. You see, he already had the hen and the eggs. With his belief in prayer and his confidence in the power greater than he just hadn't got the eggs under him. As I said before, the eggs were willing and the hen was willing. And so was this thing called life, the power greater than we are willing. What he had to do was to place his faith in a relationship to this power, which would make it possible for the law of good to do a definite thing for him. Well, this man really sat on his eggs for 3 months before anything tangible happened. But he did sit on them. And he did roll them over in his imagination every day. That is, he had a quiet period each day when he definitely meditated and prayed and generated faith and conviction and came to a complete acceptance. He was waiting in faith, waiting on the law of good and resting in the knowledge that God never lets anyone down. I used to ask him from time to time, "How is it with your faith? Are you anxious? Do any doubts come into your mind?" And he would always say, "No, I am sure something good is going to happen." Sure enough, one day when he was making a delivery at a retail store, the owner said to him, "You know, I have been thinking about you lately. I need someone to help me in my business. And how would you like to do that?" This our friend took as the first sign, the first leading of the Spirit to a definite conclusion. And so he answered, "Why, this happens to be the kind of a business I used to be in, and I understand it. And I would be very, very happy indeed to accept your offer. So there was another period of several months during which he worked for the owner of the store. And then one day the owner said, "I really want to turn this whole business over to you. I want to retire. And you can take your own time in paying for it. It is a very successful business, and it will pay for itself." And let us add, just like all God's ideas, it will take care of itself. Naturally, the man accepted this offer, and he himself became the owner of the business and ran it for many years, and ran it successfully, but always with this thought in mind. This is God's business. A power greater than I am is directing it. I am in partnership with this power. Now, this is a simple and a true story of something that actually happened. Just one among hundreds of similar stories. Just the simple story of a man who was willing to sit in an idea for 3 months because he believed and because he was persistent in his faith and because he trusted where he could not trace. For this is what faith is. There are several viewpoints we can take of this story. We can say, "Oh, well, it probably would have happened anyway," or "it was just chance or good luck." Or we can say, "Perhaps his story applied to this man alone. And what meaning does it have for me? For I don't want a grocery store. I don't even drive a bakery truck. Or I have problems much greater than his." Well, perhaps you have. But do you think that your problems are too great for a divine intelligence to solve? Do you think the power that controls everything finds it more difficult to hatch out a planet than it does to hatch out an egg? Jesus used just one power, and only one, to heal the sick, raise the dead, and multiply the loaves and fishes. And he didn't say that this power is big in one place and little in another. You see, our friend kept faith with himself, and he kept faith with the law of good, and he took definite time every day to meditate, to pray, to accept. He didn't even know what the law of good was going to do for him, or how, or when, or where. Daily he gave thanks for what he couldn't see. Daily he believed that a way would be opened before him. And surely, he had the faith of a little child. And how much you and I need this childlike acceptance. For we all have problems. We are not different from each other because we are all human beings. We all wish to be happy and whole. The most interesting thing about it all, we all have faith. It is born with us. It is just as much a part of us as our hands and feet. We just haven't been using it right. So then, let's get us a hen and some eggs and see if we can't put them together. Let's take some definite idea and stay with it in complete acceptance. Let's take all our wants and needs to that divine source which alone can meet them and believe that it will meet them. I have no secrets to tell you. I have no power to give you. You just forget all about me. I've just told you a simple, true story about a power that you have access to, about a law of good waiting to be used, and about a simple approach to it that you and only you can make for yourself. No, I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer. This thing I am talking about is life itself, life which is already given to you and to me, the intelligence to know, the power to do, and the faith to believe. What are we going to do with this wonderful gift of life? That's up to us, isn't it? Of course it is. And when once fold for us, and the power and the glory of the kingdom of good will embrace us in our every act and in our every thought.
Chimes are ringing and birds soaring heavenward singing. In faith and silent peace, this hour I surrounding me, and the knowing is divine. I gaze upon creation, Lord, and bow in reverent prayer. I gaze upon creation, Lord, and my soul becomes exalted, for I know it is the love of Thee, and the knowing makes me free. I know it is the knowing makes me free.
The beautiful song, Knowing, which you have just heard, is an original composition written by Adair Lieberg. Dr. Holmes, I understand that you received more than 3,000 requests for your phonograph record on physical wholeness. I suppose you also received many letters on the subject of health.
I couldn't begin to read over the air all the wonderful letters we have received from men and women who have found relief from physical suffering through faith and prayer. But here are some typical ones. For instance, one lady writes that after a long siege with a broken hip, she was so depressed that she didn't even want to be helped. Now she says, I look forward to the comforting words on your broadcast. I am eternally grateful for the help I am receiving. Another listener writes, I was told I would never be able to walk again, but I refused to accept this. Soon I began to get around on crutches, and now I am able to walk without them. Best of all, I have peace of mind, the peace of mind that passeth understanding. From still another listener, who describes herself as a shut-in, comes a request for our mental garden guide with this comment. I know that gardening for the soul and mind is the kind of mental medicine I really need. It is interesting to note from the testimony of these three people that the law of spiritual well-being manifested itself for each one of them, but in a different way. The lady with the broken hip was not in a receptive mood at first, but as she began to have faith, she was rewarded by better health. The woman with the crutches, who was finally able to discard them, enjoyed an even greater spiritual victory with the peace that passeth all understanding. And the shut-in invalid has come to realize that she may know joy and happiness, even if physically handicapped.
In a few moments, we will tell you more about Dr. Holmes' recorded meditation on physical wholeness and how you may secure this phonograph record absolutely free. Now, Dr. Holmes brings you his meditation for today.
And now, friends, we have been talking about a power greater than we are, a power which we can use. We have been talking about divine guidance and how it works. We have been talking about prayer and how it is answered. But we really have been talking about affirmative prayer, the prayer that believes in its own answer. And we have been talking about the need of accepting this answer even before we see it. Let us then take as the thought for our meditation today these wonderful words of Jesus. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let us see if we can arrive at an attitude of complete acceptance. Let each of us think of some particular thing he wishes to pray for. It doesn't really matter what it is, so long as it is good. Just place it definitely in your mind as an idea and say quietly to yourself, I am handing this idea over to the divine intelligence, to the power that knows how to do everything. And I am handing it over in complete acceptance of its answer. Gratefully and with deep peace, with complete conviction, I am receiving this answer in my experience. I know there is nothing in me that can doubt the divine goodness or the operation of its law in my affairs. I believe that everything necessary to the fulfillment of this definite desire is now in operation, that all the circumstances in my life are tending to bring it about. If there is anything I ought to do about it, I shall receive the impression to act. I shall receive guidance, and I shall be impelled to act intelligently. Therefore, I have a complete sense of ease and assurance. I look forward joyfully as I anticipate this good which is to come into my life. I believe that all who are now praying with me will receive the answer to their desires and from the same source. My faith goes out to them even as their faith reaches back to me. For I believe that out of the great good in which we all live, there will surely come to each one of us an answer to his particular need.
Open my eyes that I may see, fullness of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
If you find these meditations, which Dr. Holmes gives each Sunday on these programs, helpful and inspiring, here is an important reminder. Dr. Holmes will send you, absolutely free, a phonograph record of his meditation on physical wholeness. This recording is Dr. Holmes' gift to you, his way of expressing thanks and appreciation for your wonderful response to this series of Sunday programs. Dr. Holmes has recorded this meditation on two sides of a 7-inch disc made of RCA Victor's high-quality, long-lasting vinylite. Send for this meditation without fail this week. Play it over and over again on your own radio phonograph or portable playback. Use it during your own periods of daily meditation to help you affirm a conviction of ever-present health and well-being. Remember, for just one more week, a letter or a penny postcard addressed to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, will bring you absolutely free a phonograph recording of Dr. Holmes' meditation on physical wholeness, plus a reprint of today's talk on the secret of success. That address again is This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Dr. Holmes, I understand that you've invited a guest to appear on this program next Sunday.
Yes, I have, Bill. This guest is a personal friend of mine, and a man whose name is familiar, I am sure, to everyone listening. This friend lived in the Hawaiian Islands for many years. He has written numerous volumes of delightful poems, which he illustrates with his own drawings. But no matter how many poems he writes, he will always be best remembered for the one called Vagabond House.
Of course you mean Don Blanding. Will he read one of his poems?
Yes, he will. But more important still, Don Blanding is going to tell us in his own words what the power for good has done for him. He will tell us how the power that is within and around us has not only brought him greater happiness, but also greater creativeness as a writer and an artist. Don Blanding has a new book recently published called A Grand Time Living. So in line with that theme, my talk for next Sunday will be Take the High Road to Happiness.
Be sure to be with us next Sunday when Dr. Holmes' subject will be Take the High Road to Happiness, and when he presents as his special guest the famous poet-artist Don Blanding. And remember, this is your last week to secure your phonograph record of Dr. Holmes' meditation on physical wholeness. You may obtain this recorded meditation absolutely free, as well as a reprint of today's talk, by writing to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Dr. Holmes suggests that you attend regularly the church of your choice. If you have no church affiliations, you are invited to attend the religious science services in your community. For those in the vicinity of Beverly Hills, Dr. Holmes may be heard every Sunday at 11 o'clock at the Fox Beverly Theater, corner Wilshire and Beverly Drive.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
This Thing Called Life is brought to you every week at this same time in the interests of greater spiritual understanding by the Institute of Religious Science, a non-profit organization. Our soloist was William Alvis with Irma Glenn at the organ. Bill Davidson speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.